Yeah, I'm talking to you, sassy girl. Need a little ah in your step? Try this on for size.
It's pop.
Tastes great, it makes you feel kind of funny. Not here, not down there, but all up in this area. And coming
Hello, and welcome to When We Were Young, the podcast that wonders why the pop culture of the 80s and 90s gets you high and takes you on a ride and makes your body start to rock in a way that you can't stop. Yes, this podcast's all you got. We know you like this dirty pod.
God.
I'm Chris, the podcast host whose love is like a river, peaceful and deep, and whose soul is like a secret you never can keep.
It's beautiful.
I'm Seth, the host most likely to never, ever, under any circumstances, try to beat box, because no person ever should.
And I'm Becky, and I'm most definitely one of the 11 people to have actually bought a ticket to see Lance Bass and his film On the Line. Ooh. In theaters.
That was a paid gig.
Wow. Why
would you? Do you want to know the truth? I think I didn't buy a ticket because somebody worked for Trojan Vision and they were going to review it and they had an extra ticket and they brought me because they knew I liked Lance Bass. Wow. So I don't even think I paid.
So you deprived Lance Bass of your hard-earned money.
I guess so. He got my time.
He got your time. And really, that's the most precious resource of all.
In our previous episode, Backstreet was back.
All right.
Well, God must have spent a little more time on this episode of the When We Were Young podcast, because this episode has all you ever wanted and all you ever needed, because now we want another group back. And guess what? It's going to be NSYNC.
I have like 20 songs in my head right now.
I'm in physical pain.
Stuck in my head. Can't get out.
I'm not on enough drugs for this one.
Back in the DeLorean, a Saturday morning, cause we both be cynical and radical. But was it good cause we were young? Was it good cause we were dumb? Did we think it'll suddenly suck? Now we're jaded and all grown up, and there was so much that we loved. Do we think it'll make the cut? Will it be a bag or sin, or will it be fun? A decade later, will it still hold up? This is when we were young. When we were young.
If you're sick and tired of hearing people talk about what's the deal with this pop life and when is it going to fade out, this is not the podcast for you. For we are asking those very same questions here today, as we often do. We are going to discuss NSYNC, the clear rival of the Backstreet Boys in the quest for the boy band throne at the turn of the millennium, as well as a few acts who tried to hit the heights enjoyed by these 10 tuneful chaps, but did not quite get there.
On the subject of not quite getting there, before we get into NSYNC, we need to visit the When We Were Young Corrections Department to detail a factual error made in our last episode about the Backstreet Boys. Solely due to the failure of our deficient researchers, who were all fired as of the moment they hear this podcast, we told you that Max Martin mentored the Swedish producer and songwriter Dennis Pop, when in fact it was the other way around. Dennis Pop was a well-known DJ on the Swedish music scene. He produced Ace of Base's massive hit single All That She Wants in 1992, helping them become one of the biggest pop groups of that era. And he recruited several young writers and producers who would go on to revolutionize pop music, including Max Martin. As we mentioned in our last episode, Dennis Pop and Max Martin worked together on many hit songs for boy bands, including Everybody by the Backstreet Boys and I Want You Back by NSYNC. He surely would have gone on to be even more influential if he had not passed away in 1998 at the age of 35. So thanks to our listener Sarah for making sure we gave him proper credit for his work and mentorship. And now we go back to Chris for all the NSYNC facts.
Unfortunately, I am not allowed to provide you with any information about NSYNC. As you heard in our last episode, my sister has strictly forbidden it. I should probably just recuse myself from this entire episode, but I will stick around, though I have handed off research duties to someone who is still permitted to discuss these delicate matters.
If nothing else, When We Were Young is a podcast with academic rigor. Becky, take it away.
I love that your adult sister is not letting you talk about it.
I'm just blaming it on her. I just didn't want to do this research. Okay.
I got it from here, Chris.
Thank God.
Listener, we handed over physical reins to Becky.
God must have spent a little more time on you, Becky.
So NSYNC is comprised of the following members, and these are the ages they were when they joined the band. Chris Kirkpatrick, 23. JC Chazé, 19. Joey Fatone, 18. Lance Bass, 16. Justin Timberlake, 14.
I feel like this is already more rigorous research than you did, Chris.
That's rude.
I'm going to give it to Becky. I'm going to give it to Becky. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just will.
I refuse to believe Joey Fatone was ever less than 50.
He's not 50 now.
I don't agree.
NSYNC has earned 8 Grammy nominations. They've sold over 70 million records. They played the Super Bowl halftime show. They received a star on the Walk of Fame in 2018. They went on hiatus in 2002 and returned 21 years later for a song on the Trolls Band Together soundtrack. They recently appeared on Hot Ones. These are just some of the claims to fame.
Myriad accomplishments.
The real highlights here is what we're going for.
Their formation, The Scene, 1994. Orlando, Florida.
Hotspot.
Universal Studios. While working at Universal Studios Orlando and singing in the Hollywood high tones, Chris Kirkpatrick was introduced to Lou Pearlman. He had created the Backstreet Boys, as you may remember from our previous episode. He heard that Pearlman was interested in financing another boy band because the first time it worked out so well.
Because he stole $10 million from him.
I know.
Him.
I'm not being sarcastic. It worked out very well for Lou Pearlman. So we saw him perform in his doo-wop group, the Hollywood high tones, which is another way to say all the tuneful tots or whatever you can say.
I wish they were the tuneful tots.
Tuneful tots, that's another good one. Sonorous gents.
I was gonna say, why were they on the Hollywood high tones? But there's a Hollywood Florida, isn't there?
There is,
but
there
I mean, it's Hollywood because it's like the movies. That's why.
Harmonic himbos.
Oh, God. Chris Kirkpatrick, which is a hard name to say.
Yeah, I'm learning that.
He met Lou Pearlman. Lou Pearlman took an interest in him. They discussed the idea of Kirkpatrick to form a vocal group. He promised to finance it if, I'm going to switch to Chris, could find other singers to join him.
Why didn't they name it Chris and the Kirkpatricks?
So Chris took over a year trying to find other people to join him in his vocal group. He eventually found Justin Timberlake, who had been famous at that point for the Mickey Mouse Club. He found him through a talent agent and contacted him about joining his group. Justin Timberlake, 14 at the time, was into it, but he had at the time been writing demos with JC Chazé, who was also on the Mickey Mouse Club. They wrote demos together. They eventually both moved to Nashville together to write songs. When Justin got the call from Chris, he recommended JC as well for the group.
Did he say, I'm going to a place nearby, gotta go?
No, he did not.
Okay.
They all went to Orlando together to search for a baritone, and they found Joey Fatone, who Chris knew from working at Universal Studios.
Wait, did they search for a baritone or for someone whose name rhymed with baritone?
Finally, the last member of the group to join was Jason Galasso. They recruited some guy named Jason as the bass, and they began to rehearse. NSYNC got its name because Justin's mom commented on how in sync the guys were, and it stuck. It's also the last letter of the first name of all the guys in the group. And Seth has a very confused...
I did not know we would have to do math on this episode.
Wait, is that true?
Yes. The last letter of the first name.
Yes.
Joey?
Sync.
Why?
Why in sync?
Chris S.
Oh.
Lance E.
Not Lance. Not Lance yet.
Oh.
It was Jason.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no E.
Right before signing with Pearlman's label, Jason Galasso dropped out, claiming he never wanted to be a teen idol. He instead became a mortgage broker.
And we wish success to him.
Timberlake called his vocal coach for recommendations on someone else, and he suggested a 16-year-old from Mississippi named Lance Bass for the group's bass. Bass flew to Orlando to audition and was immediately accepted into the group. He was nicknamed Lanston so they could keep the name NSYNC and have it be the last letter of the first name.
When did Justin Tenor...
To Lasso? Jason Galasso?
No, Justin Tenor. Did he joined the group, right? Don't they all have to be named after a vocal range?
Yes.
Why didn't they ask Tony Soprano?
We are full of questions, Becky.
Guys. They were set up in a house in Orlando, and they practiced nonstop, singing, dance moves, and how to promote themselves. Although the record company had few concerns with the band's name and Bass's dancing abilities, because he himself admits he was not a dancer at the time, they agreed to sign the group to the German label BMG Areola Munich. So the band worked with songwriters like Max Martin in Sweden.
Surprise. I'm shocked.
They toured Germany for their debut album, and it was released in Europe on May 26, 1997. It was an overnight success in Europe. They toured the rest of Europe outside Germany and Asia. In 1998, the group was signed to RCA in America. The group released its debut American single, I Want You Back, in December of 1997. It reached number 13 on the Billboard Hot 100, and on March 24th, 1998, they released their self-titled debut U.S. album. The album was not an overnight success in the U.S. Hmm. It debuted at 82 on the Billboard 200. Eventually, with TV appearances on the Disney Channel and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, as well as opening for Janet Jackson on the Velvet Rope Tour, the group's star began to rise. The group's debut album eventually reached number 2 on the Billboard 200 and has since sold around 15 million copies. NSYNC's self-titled debut album came out in 1997 and then in 1998 in America, and it had 4 singles. The first one was I Want You Back, written by Dennis Pop and Max Martin, who clearly have no loyalty to the boy bands they work with.
Funny that the breakout singles both are involving things coming back.
Yeah, there wasn't a song called I Want You.
Right out of the gate with the bad CGI. I mean, it took the Backstreet Boys a while to build up to that, but NSYNC's just coming right out there with the space theme.
Yeah, talk about like a screensaver that the music group is voguing on top of.
I like this song still. I find it memorable. And this is their like debut single.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
I don't think it is. I think it fits perfectly in with this era. And as soon as I hear the beginning, I know it. Like, I remember it. For the record, if you don't remember me talking about this in the last episode, I was much more of an NSYNC fan. I never saw them in concert and never tried. So I wasn't like an insane person, but I definitely...
Wow, real harsh words for the NSYNC fans.
Wow, that's a bit ableist. Let's dial it back
a little bit. I was never like a diehard, but you felt like you had to choose at the time. I definitely chose NSYNC.
You chose poorly.
I gravitated toward them at some point, because even this first album I did not own. It was No Strings Attached that I owned. But I do remember these songs, and I think I like them fine, but I like this song fine.
The most memorable thing about this to me was the skin-tight shirts.
So tight.
Voluminously baggy pants. They're almost harem pants. They're almost MC Hammer level. They're very much of the time. They are very much of that moment. But watching the music video, it was very funny watching them dance in those pants, because the pants are weighing them down, if anything.
You're very focused on the pants.
It was, but that is a very pants forward music video. If you look at it, like, anyone who watches this music video now will be like, wow, they're half pant.
Chris, can you escape the judgment of your sister in this episode at all? Or can you not? Can you speak freely?
I've been wondering that myself.
This is a safe space for you. Janae is not here. She cannot harm you. We bind her from harming you in this space. So please speak freely, Chris.
There is an assassin waiting for me, depending on what we say here outside this building.
Chris, what's that laser dot on your forehead? Did you have that when you came in?
I think that's something from the video, actually. I feel okay to speak freely, and I'm actually just questioning how much of my loyalties were already cemented before I started preparing for this episode, and how much it might have just been influenced by the fact that I prepared for NSYNC after doing several hours of prep for the Backstreet Boys and was maybe a little fatigued by this aesthetic. I noticed right away how tight their shirts were.
It's unavoidable. Their nipples, they protrude.
And this was not that much after the Backstreet Boys. Like, this single was maybe a year after. Mm-hmm. You may disagree, but I feel like the Backstreet Boys didn't often look too 90s. Like, their outfits weren't often so awkward where I was, like, distracted.
Hard disagree.
Like, which one?
I think I'm focusing more on the hair than the outfits.
Okay.
But hard disagree as far as like being very, trying to be trendy and being very dated.
Okay, we can talk about hair ramen. But first, it just felt so dated and rooted in a specific moment immediately that it was distracting for a debut single. So what I noticed about NSYNC was how in sync they were. I guess I agree with someone's mom.
Justin's mom.
Justin's mom. Because they definitely established themselves as more of a dance group. They feel more like professional dancers than the Backstreet Boys did, who are like, I think, capable dancers, but not really showy about it. And I think this video is showing off dance moves much
more. For sure.
Mm-hmm. I think most of their videos do. No, yeah. I think that's a very fair point and a distinction between the two.
When I think both groups are very good dancers, but I think you're right that when I think of NSYNC, like the dancing is very much part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more showcased in the videos.
Mm-hmm.
And this didn't establish any individuality with them. Like, they are NSYNC. There's no like real sense of like who different people are, which is your criticism of the Backstreet Boys, which I thought those initial videos did a slightly better job of giving them like solo moments and like kind of establishing them as individuals.
Look, I got into NSYNC after this period. So I think maybe just through general pop culture, I can agree with you here because I think later their individual personalities shine more. But I mean, if I didn't know anything, I'd just be like, there's just boys dancing.
Yeah. I don't think I ever really saw this video because, again, this was before the period where we were watching TRL. There are later videos. I know I definitely saw it. This one I might have seen, you know, in passing or clips from it. But like these first few videos were like new to me, more or less.
And I heard this song a lot, but I didn't see the video.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is actually kind of surprising in retrospect.
The song is like catchy, but I don't love it. Like it's passable. Like I can have it on and it's, you know, like a catchy pop song, but I don't think there's anything special about it.
I like it. Look, not my favorite, but I like it. The next one was Tearing Up My Heart, and that was written by Max Martin and Christian Lunden, so just more Swedes. Baby, I I feel like I often get this song confused with the previous song.
Because they're the exact same fucking song. That might be why, Becky.
Well, they're both written by Max Martin. Max Martin has a tendency to sound like
also
himself.
I read something that like I Want You Back was a huge hit in Europe, but they literally wanted Max Martin to kind of reproduce that in the form of Tearing Up My Heart to break through in America. So like it was very much conscious to try to make it a very similar song. But even for that, it is an identical song in a slightly different key.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I have to ask, because you were very harsh on the Backstreet Boys vocals in the last episode. Comparison, please.
I'm going to work up to what I think about NSYNC's vocal stylings. At least in these early ones, there aren't too many vocal solos. Like, no. Even when they are kind of pushed a bit more forward in the mix, the point is very clearly to, like, blend them all together and have them be one voice.
NSYNC.
Yes.
That's what I noticed, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And that came through way more strongly re-listening to them now, especially because I know it's a shock, but it's been many years since I've listened to these songs in any kind of serious and listening to them in full. It actually came across very clearly this time around. I don't think they're super strong vocalists, you know? And again, because it's Max Martin, the soloists and the musical centerpieces of these songs are the production techniques and not the music itself, and definitely not the singers.
Yeah, I was surprised because this is shockingly the first time I've academically studied, you know, these tracks.
You didn't get your master's in boy bandology?
I tried, but it was full. How much this contrasted for me to Backstreet Boys, because I think those songs have, I mean, the videos help, but you can distinctly hear different voices singing. And this one sounded kind of like almost autotune-y. Not to say that they can't hit the notes, but that it just felt like very a generic, like all of them singing. It was like one voice singing, like barely broken out into different people.
Or to again invoke a past genre of music that's much better, in my opinion, a barbershop quartet. Like the point of that is to blend every single voice together into one unified piece.
The third single was Here We Go, written by Bulent Aris and Tony Kotura. More Swedes.
Here we go.
Here we go. One more time. Everybody's feeling fine. Here we go now.
Here we go. Music has got the love.
Put your head to the beat. We've got everything you need. Here we go now.
Here we go. Music has got the love.
Here we go. Just one more time. And everybody's feeling fine.
So I did not own this first album, so I do not.
Okay.
And I guess it was a single, but I mean, it was not as prominent in pop culture as the first two. So I don't know this song.
I'm not sure it was a single here, actually, but it was on the album, which I did not feel comfortable admitting this in the previous episode with my sister. But I had a friend who had a car early on before many of us had cars and a license. And she also had an NSYNC CD and a CD player in her car.
Oh, wow.
Scandal.
So I heard this album while she drove around.
It's okay.
As an album, not as singles.
Yes, yes.
That's interesting to me because my only exposure to these was through the singles. But obviously, I had a lot of exposure to these groups.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Mormon.
Oh, that's a wrinkle. Okay.
But the experience of listening to NSYNC driving around in a car felt like we were fucking shooting heroin in this car because I knew my sister would be so mad at me. So that's how I heard this song. I kind of specifically remember gravitating toward this one because it was a more upbeat song, which is what I prefer of these boy bands. The only other thing I really noticed about this one is that they took the lesson from the Backstreet Boys, put your name in the hook. NSYNC has got the flow.
To me, this sounds exactly like Tearing Up My Heart.
I mean, I have no nostalgia for this song at all, so maybe that might be coloring this, but I don't have any, like, this just sounds like it could be on Jock Jams. Nothing to it, honestly.
It's a beat, so it's not a standout, but it feels kind of like the equivalent of the Backstreet Boys, like We've Got It Going On or Get Down.
Yeah.
One of those songs like where it's like upbeat, but not terribly original lyrically.
It's upbeat paced.
The next single is parentheses, God Must Have Spent, end parentheses, A Little More Time on You.
I wish there were more parentheses on you.
A little more time on you.
record, I never owned this album, and I don't remember that song, and I've never seen that video. It's kind of garbage.
Yeah, that's one of the first songs I always think of with NSYNC. I don't know why.
Don't judge them by that song.
No, me too.
Dudes.
They put it out in the world.
No, this was like...
I didn't know that existed.
And honestly, the only note I made on this was like, I feel like this would have been the one boy band song from this era that my mom was the most likely to really like. Because they were just nice boys being nice, nicely.
Being nice, nicely.
I wrote two words for this. Hallmark bullshit. So the video has them dressed in various angelic white suit outfits that were later, you know, kind of co-opted by the Backstreet Boys, but intercut with a woman, not particularly well period dressed. She looks like she's like a 25-year-old from the 90s, raising a son who is a baby, and then a young baseball player, and then goes off to war, World War II, presumably, and dies. And then we zoom into her eye.
He does die?
Yes.
Wait, what? He came home.
No, that was the guy giving her the letter that says
that
he
wasn't
dies.
Him?
No.
I thought she was so excited to see her son again.
They did not save Private NSYNC.
Oh.
This video was directed by Steven Spielberg. So
wow.
This video, it's awful. Like, the costuming is so like high school theater production.
Yes, I 1000% agree.
It doesn't even have like a passing root in the song at all. Like, there's nothing from the song that would suggest this as a theme. It does feel pretty desperate as, like, an attempt at a crossover hit.
It feels pandering. It feels like it's trying. Even the, like, use of God in a song just seems a little weird from a very commercial boy band. I just don't buy it.
And again, like, the Casey and JoJo song, like, I prayed for someone like you. Like, that even at the time felt like a very, like, gaudy song. But at least it was, like, a good song with great vocals. This one stood out to me at the time, and I was like, of course, this is the kind of song that our parents would like.
Yeah, I got nothing to say. It's pretty bad.
So you don't support our troops.
Well, don't support this troop.
Confirmed. Becky Hates America. Moving right along to the next single.
All right, the next single was Thinking of You, I Drive Myself Crazy.
In parentheticals.
Now I toss and turn, 'cause I'm without you.
Okay, I had absolutely no memory of this song. Really? Or the video.
Oh, boy.
I am really not in love with how it trivializes mental health issues and mental health treatment. All the members of NSYNC act quote-unquote crazy in this video.
One has his shoe off his foot, and the other one is making weird faces.
And one of them has ramen all over his head.
It's real bad.
I mean,
it's real
in
bad.
Hindsight, this would not be made today.
No, I think it shouldn't have been made at the time either.
No one was going to call this out at the time. I hate a ballad. So, I hate a ballad.
This was a big one on TRL. I remember this one. This is the first video of theirs, I think, that was a big deal for me. I remember seeing this video way too many times. I didn't like it. It would play, and I would be like, oh my God, this one again, and tune out. But I saw this video many times.
It does look familiar now that I'm looking at it, like them in the padded room with the silk pajamas or whatever. It seems vaguely familiar to me. And I do know the song. I just don't like a ballad. So I would never seek this song out.
I would like to point out that every woman in all of these videos who has a profession looks like a porn star.
Yeah, that's right. That checks out.
Yeah. I had a thing where I was watching all these videos and just there's always a hot girl. She's got nothing else to do. She's just hot. Like in the Everybody video, she's just standing in a hallway.
Being hot.
Being hot.
I think it's the same girl. It's always a brunette.
It might as well. Might as well be.
So generic.
Generic hot girl. We're going to No Strings Attached, which was released in 2000. This album holds the Guinness World Record for the fastest selling pop album in history. The first single was Bye Bye Bye, which was written by Christian Lunden, Jake Schulze, and Andreas Karlsson with two S's.
All right.
The song was intended to be recorded by English boy band Five, or Five Ive.
Checks out.
But they rejected it as they wanted to become a rap band.
Mistake.
Rolling Stone magazine ranked Bye 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 as the sixth greatest boy band song of all time, writing, it remains their defining track, a four-minute blast of big hooks, tight harmonies, and intriguingly meta subtext. However, another editor from the same magazine listed it as the 17th most annoying song of all time.
I feel those two distinctions can coexist in complete peace. I think that is also part of the abiding appeal of pop music, is that it's something that is simple enough to be earwormy and possibly incredibly annoying, but is not able to escape your brain.
I think there's a fine line. I think that makes sense, that there is a line. And I think most of the best songs start in a place and move and then hit that line, and then they're like, oh, that's annoying now. There's the life of a pop song where first it's catchy, it's fun. Eventually you hear it too many times and it's like, oh, fuck that song again. And then it kind of dies for a little while. And then it becomes like this nostalgic fun thing, like this song is for at least some of us, I'm sure. Becky.
I think this might be one of the most iconic music videos of all time, but especially of this time period.
Like with the strings?
Yes. And again, it's like there's no story there, but it stands on its own as a metaphor. I feel like this is one of those music videos that will always belong in the time capsule of this exact moment in history.
What struck me is that we got this far without like a banger video. Everything else up until this point, the songs that were notable from them, like I Want You Back or Tearing Up My Heart, mm-hmm. the videos weren't like iconic.
No, they were not.
So it took until this, and then it's like, oh, they got their budget. They've got a train zooming around all Mission Impossible style. Yeah, and the string motif, I think, became very synonymous with them. I mean, obviously, it was the title of the album and then in the lead single. Yeah, I mean, this is a fun song. Like, it comes on, it's super cheesy, and you have a good time singing along with it.
Yeah, I mean, musically, I've got to say, this is like some of the most superficial pop production and songwriting. If you had a pet cat and you set your MIDI keyboard to the orchestra hits and like the auto chord settings where no matter what key you press, it would like automatically play chords and rhythms, your pet cat could write Bye Bye Bye.
This is a lot going on with this, that I have this equipment and this cat. I want to talk about this album. I don't remember what I said last episode about it. You know, I knew some hits like from NSYNC from their first album, but I didn't own it. I saw them on TRL randomly one day. Wasn't even like seeking it out. They were doing an interview and I was like laughing. I was like, oh, they're funny. Like, because I feel like anything I've seen with Backstreet Boys was just like, here's our new single. It's called I Love You Girl. That's it. We're just going to talk about the music.
I'm sorry. Let's be factual. sexual. It's called Girl, I Love You Girl.
Parenthesis girl. But they were like joking. They were like engaging with each other that I could tell they really liked each other. And they were like making me laugh. And I was just like really charmed by them. It really like turned me around on NSYNC, this interview that had nothing to do with their music. That was just like about them. I felt like I was getting to know them. They were becoming like relatable and also just like they're funny. And I liked that they had personalities. And so I think that really inspired me to buy No Strings Attached. And I loved No Strings Attached, the whole album. Like, I really, really liked it. Maybe not every track is like a winner, but I genuinely liked that album and listened to it a lot. And I recently listened to it again for this podcast. And I was just like, yeah, like I turned it on with my 5-year-old in the car because she likes BTS. So I was like, this is what I used to listen to. And I was just like, oh, yeah, Space Cowboy, like the non-singles I was like jamming out to. Because I feel like, especially when we talked about early Britney, it was just like the singles were it and the rest was filler mm-hmm. on her debut album. But I like a lot of the non-singles, particularly the song No Strings Attached. Bye 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 is maybe one of my least favorite songs in the album, and I still like it. And I really think this video is super iconic. It's memorable. And like, I feel like everything up to this point was really forgettable. This is the album and the video where I was like, they feel like they have like personalities and they're not just completely generic.
Yeah, leading up to this, it was very confusing kind of what the strategy was. Like, I feel like Backstreet Boys had a very clearly managed trajectory where you could kind of see the thought behind everything that happened, whether or not it was good or not. They felt a little random. Like, they got a Christmas song with like a $5 JCPenney video that came out before this, a single with Gloria Estefan, very boring. And I just like didn't really get, they came out with their like the two kind of dancey singles. Then they did a lot of really boring stuff after that. And this was them like kind of announcing again that they have a little bit of a sense of humor. I agree with you. Like, that playfulness comes through in this video that the Backstreet Boys don't often have. And just like, again, they're establishing themselves, I think, as a fun pop group and not like a ballady group for the most part.
There are certainly ballads that
will
get released, but...
And I remember some of the tracks on that album as well, because I listened to them in the illicit car rides and heard things like Digital Get Down, which had more personality, at least, than a lot of album cuts from other boy bands.
I love Space Cowboy.
I know that you do.
I want to just play just a few seconds of a non-single, because I don't believe there is a video. But when I think of NSYNC, I think of this music.
Sounds like a cat stepping on a piano.
Like, literally, when I thought of that, no! It was like, oh my God, that was Max Martin's secret. He just had pet cats just hopping across his keyboards. Just, Becky, the boy band episode of Simpsons.
I think you might be right.
Dudes, awesome show.
It's NSYNC!
Word.
This is why I think of that.
I had no idea that was the song briefly excerpted in that Simpsons episode.
Yes.
Where Bart and all the other boys become a boy band.
Yes. It's a great episode.
The Simpsons connection is making this all really come together.
Yeah, maybe it is.
It explains a whole lot, yeah. I think.
May I also play a comedy clip?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we need their high-spirited boy pop. We've got 18 days to harness the power of their apostrophe to stop the asterisk. NSYNC's our only hope. Plus, I've always wanted to meet JC. What?
Armageddon Sync.
You will be experiencing zero gravity.
This may be devastating to your footwork.
Who's the leader of the group?
Leader? There's no I in NSYNC.
Sometimes, the only ones who can save humanity...
We have 18 minutes to zero barrier.
...are the dreamiest white boys on Earth.
We may not have much experience driving your fancy rocket mobiles or blowing up asteroids, but when it comes to popping fresh dance moves, this is the best ragtag group of pretty boys on the planet.
I think that endears me more to them that they would be making fun of themselves. I love it.
I tried to find an equivalent clip of the Backstreet Boys and could not. So yes, maybe that says something.
That's why. Let's move on to It's Gonna Be Me. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
It's gonna be me.
Thank you. At least someone in this fucking podcast does voices.
During recording of It's Gonna Be Me, Max Martin consciously wanted the lyrics to be sung in a specific way. JC Chazet told Billboard that he literally was told to say, "It's gonna be me."
Was it Cockney? Did he hear
no,
a Cockney
it's like
accent?
Swedish, I guess. I don't know. But it's the same thing with Britney. Then they worked with the same. Yeah, the same.
Oi, Poppins. It's gonna be me.
I've been hurt, babe. That ain't no lie. I've seen them all come and go. Oh, I remember you told me that it made you believe in no man, no cry. Maybe that's why every little thing I do never seems enough for you. You don't wanna lose it.
I love this song. This is my favorite NSYNC video, and it's my favorite NSYNC song. It's wow. Also maybe one of my favorite songs. I love this video, and I love this song. I genuinely love this song.
Learning from you just now that Max Martin instructed them to lean into this vocal styling, I will give them some degree of grace. I find it so deeply grating.
Really?
So deeply grating. Just all of it. Again, is this a safe space? Can I say something freely without everyone getting offended and trying to cancel me?
No, not necessarily.
No, we'll do it anyway.
I don't like Justin Timberlake. I don't like his voice. I don't think he's funny. I think he's always thought he's funny, which to most people is enough to carry it across the finish line, just having passion. They all lean into singing this way. And again, learning that Max Martin urged them to do that, I can understand it more. But this song in particular, and starting from here, I think NSYNC pretty much becomes the Justin Timberlake show. Mm-hmm. I think it's really clear here, but becomes even clearer in yes. their subsequent videos. But I'm very annoyed by it. And this, I think, is one of their songs that is going to be inescapable for all time. Like, it's literally the It's Gonna Be May thing has become, it's become an internet meme that comes around literally every year. I don't think we'll ever die. I think we'll be ambling for scraps in the post-apocalyptic hellscape a couple years from now, and we'll still see It's Gonna Be May.
Do the Backstreet Boys have a meme?
I'm sure they do.
I don't think so.
I don't think they do.
Do they have an annual meme?
I know, and that's a good thing.
It's funny to me that that in particular has become a meme that's just still come around literally every single year. I think it's a very iconic video.
The makeup looks great. No, the makeup looks great.
The makeup looks great.
Yeah, no.
I agree. I'm saying that in agreement.
Actually, I totally agree. No, I totally agree. I think it is it's an iconic video, and it's like a kind of well done concept. Like, yeah. For what it is, like, I do think it's a fun video.
I love the choreography.
It's a very fun video. I think the gauntlet has been thrown, though. And I think, Becky, as the resident NSYNC fan, you need to respond.
To the Justin Timberlake-ness yes. of it? I am of two minds of Justin Timberlake. My crush in NSYNC was Lance Bass, first of all.
Interesting.
He was my crush.
Can I ask why?
Because he was secretly gay.
You hush.
Honestly, that fits.
I had a crush. One of my friends in high school looked just like Lance Bass, and I had a crush on him. I don't know which one came first, but I remember I must have liked him because I liked Lance Bass, because I think I called him Lance as like a nickname. He was fine with it. So I think I like Lance Bass first. I don't know. I thought he was cute.
The subject in question is Justin Timberlake.
But I'm just saying, it's not like Justin was my guy in NSYNC. It was okay. Lance Bass. I'm of two minds of Justin Timberlake. One is, I've read the Britney Spears memoir.
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for it too.
And so on one hand, I think he can be kind of in the non-public, what I've heard behind closed doors, the Britney of it all.
Is the Britney book closed doors?
It's not anymore.
She published the book.
He's probably a dick in some ways. I don't know if he's still a dick. I don't know. I mean, this is a whole podcast episode in itself because, I mean, there's the Janet Jackson thing. And look, I don't know him personally. Musically, I like him. On SNL, I like him.
I have never liked him. He has always had the most Mickey Mouse Club energy.
Well, that would be appropriate, wouldn't it?
Well, but... But to contrast it, even specifically, like, Miley Cyrus is someone who was very much from that universe, but became her own thing.
I mean,
same
I
for Ryan Gosling.
I mean, even, sure. Like, then I think Justin Timberlake became his own thing. When I think of him, I don't think of NSYNC. I think of him as solo career.
Oh, I do not.
Oh.
I do not. I think he's been one of the most overrated people as a solo artist.
Chris, you got to step in here.
No, like of all time, I think he's one of the most overrated modern pop singers
of all time. Some of his solo albums and many of his singles I love. So
I was very shocked to hear Seth say what he said because I agree. I don't like Justin Timberlake either.
Like not at all?
Not really. I mean, I do think he's a talented singer. His solo especially his early solo stuff. I think he's, like, a lot of that was good. I think he's a decent actor, you know.
Like in, Social in Network stuff. And stuff. Yeah.
But I don't like him. I've never liked him. I didn't like him in NSYNC, like, before he was a solo act.
Hmm.
Like, I just never liked him. He always irritated me.
I think you both, and I'm not saying, like, you're entitled to your opinion. I think you're both in the minority, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're in the silent majority.
I don't think you are. I think there's people that don't care either way.
I think that, and I think most people don't give a shit and never cared. Well,
that could be said for anything.
No, like, I genuinely think he was one of those people who people tried to make into this pop cultural institution, but I don't think he had the talent to, like, actually cash that check.
I disagree. I have not been to a concert of his, but I've seen, like, the recording of his... I mean, I don't know what it was called, but it was like the Future Love...
Sex.
Future Sex Love Sounds tour.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sure. And I thought
I knew there was a sex in there.
I mean, I was watching it on DVD and I thought it was pretty great.
I don't have any issues with his talent. Like, I think he's good, but I always sense that he is a dick. Like, I can... it wafts at me through his NSYNC videos. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. like, even the earliest ones, I'm like, that guy's a dick. And I have always
yes!
known that. Now it's confirmed, kind of. Thanks, Brittany.
Again, that was, like, ages ago. I don't know. Look, I don't know.
I think
know.
He's a dick.
I don't know. But I don't... Because I don't know, I am just going to compartmentalize.
As a completely independent third-party observer, someone who will never read or listen to the Britney Spears autobiography,
too bad.
I can confirm he's always seemed like a dick.
All right. Where do we go from here on this episode, then?
Well, but, like, the thing is, like, Seth, I noticed that this just... NSYNC just became increasingly the Justin Timberlake show. And it's very irritating because I just... sense him, like, shoving everyone else out of the frame of the videos, and it's like...
I was kind of shocked there weren't shots in the video of him literally shoving them out.
Yeah. See, I don't feel that way with this album, but let's get to Celebrity.
Okay.
So let's move on. Let's go to This I'll Promise You.
And I will take you in my arms and hold you right where you belong. Till the day my life is through, this I promise you, this I promise you.
This sounds like perfect music, like to soundtrack a colonic, just like really getting your colon flushed. And I don't just mean the lower, I mean the upper, well past the O-ring, like deep in. After the Enya, you put on this.
My response to this video that I did not remember was, oh my God, sweaters. Oh my God, facial hair. The facial hair is bad on everybody in this video, including Justin.
Again, it looks a little bit, it seems less desperate than the Backstreet Boys were with the, like, please consider us adults now. But it seems in the same vein of that.
I disagree. These are turtlenecks. This video is weird.
It is weird.
That was weird.
What's happening in these bubbles? What is the story happening in these bubbles?
There are bubbles going through the redwood forest with stories happening in them. But the stories aren't really stories because they're just couples.
One's getting a tattoo?
Yeah, there's nothing to it. And then they end up sitting around on a patio at a restaurant just like pouring ketchup on fries.
I know, it was really weird. I couldn't follow it.
It was such a weird...
I was drinking while watching these videos, but I didn't think I was that drunk.
I wasn't. I was sober.
I don't think sobriety would have helped with this.
Can I please share with you, as my final note on this album, is that I watched this with my husband, and he, just out of nowhere, he went, Joey Fatone doesn't look like how this group sounds. He looks like he should be serving me a giant sub. Like a really good one. And I died laughing because he's not wrong.
He's really not wrong. I had that thought a couple times. Some with NSYNC, much more so with some of the other groups that we partook of some of the music of, is that in most of these groups, there was at least one member who clearly had already aged out before the group got together. Mm-hmm. And they got grandfathered in the sense that that person was probably literally a grandfather by the time they were in the band.
Can we talk about the parody boy band group Together from MTV? Together. And how they had the cute one, the bad boy, and then there was like a guy that was like in his 60s.
Yeah.
Or something, like an overweight guy in his 50s or 60s.
It is weird. I don't get it. Because they're obviously like putting this together for a certain aesthetic. And yet there are 1 to 2 members in a lot of these groups that don't fit in.
And it's not even that they're, you know, like the slightly sexy older, like silver daddy or something. They're not like a Hugh Jackman type to where it's like, okay, well, this is definitely going to reel in like the boomer moms. Like, they're literally like, I do think that Mike's characterization of it was pretty spot on.
He works at like the, you know, the Italian shop, and he really knows his stuff. He knows that he's going to get you something good.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, regardless of which sandwich shop it is, like they're the person who like punches above their weight class, and they really know the exact right combo of everything.
He's going to call it mozzarella.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like, prosciutto. He's going to say prosciutto.
But the thing is, he didn't even call out the worst member. Because there is still a lower rung.
I think Joey Fatone is kind of cute, honestly. And I think he's funny.
You just want a sandwich.
I do want a sandwich.
That's where I'm at. It's like, I really want his sandwich artistry.
What can Chris Kirkpatrick?
He started the group, so he has the worst hair out of all of them.
I don't trust that man to make me a sandwich.
He's the least cute out of all of them. Sorry, Chris. It's your group, but no. Let's move on to Celebrity. That came out in 2001. By this point in my life, I had moved on from boy bands. I was in college.
You did?
Yeah, so I didn't own this. I wasn't really paying attention to NSYNC at the time. So anytime I saw their videos, it was kind of like, oh, it's on in the club or something. I wasn't even watching music videos then because there was no YouTube and I didn't have cable. So I missed a lot of this.
Yeah. Can I just say, like, the context in which I first heard most of these songs, but especially in which I saw the music videos for these, was in my first experiences at gay clubs as a freshman in college.
Yeah.
Like, at the time that this album came out, I did not hear any of this in high school when it actually came out.
So despite the success of their previous studio album, the band was constantly blasted by critics who had preconceptions of what a credible group should be. It forced them to be more involved in the production of their next album, Celebrity. So Justin Timberlake began writing music for this album.
Of course he did.
So the first single was Pop. It was written by Justin Timberlake and Wade Robson. A little bit of trivia about the video. It cost $2.5 million.
Jesus.
Holy fuck.
Which is about double today. It made it one of the most expensive music videos of all time.
think that's more than larger than life.
Another little trivia factoid is that 2 days before filming, Joey Fatone injured his leg and he couldn't dance in the video. So in some parts of the video, he's just sitting and that's him. But whenever you see him dancing, his head is superimposed on Wade Robson's body.
Oh, wow.
They should have had the whole band just do that. Although without his head.
Dirty pop, baby, baby, you can't stop. I know you like this. Dirty pop. Now, why you wanna try to classify the type of thing we do? Cause we're just fine doing what we like, and we say the same for you. I'm tired of feeling all around me animosity. Just worry about yours, cause I'm gonna get mine. Now, people, can't you see?
It doesn't matter.
By the car I drive, or the ice around my neck.
All that matters.
It's that you recognize that it's just about respect.
It doesn't matter.
By the clothes I wear, and where I go, and why.
All that matters.
It's that you get hyped, and we do it every time. Come on.
Yeah, again, by this point, it's very much like the Justin Timberlake show. And I've expressed what I think about him. But in particular, whomever gave Justin Timberlake permission to beatbox should disappear. Things should happen to that person.
Maybe just make those things happen to Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, or that too.
Why are you giving it to a third party? I like this video a lot. I think it's really fun. It seems really cool. It seems so much bigger. Also, I like Justin Timberlake's musical oeuvre. So the fact that, like, he was starting to write, like, this just sounds like Justified, which is his first album. That's just what it sounds like. And I was wondering why NSYNC stopped making albums after this one, because they were still really popular. It was because Justin Timberlake was like, bye, I'm gonna be a solo artist.
That's very clearly it.
Yeah, this album very much feels like it's Justin Timberlake and the NSYNCs. I mean, if you are not a fan of Justin Timberlake, I get it. That's not for you. I like him enough that I really liked the sound where this was going, and I felt like it was really cool that the band was evolving, because I felt like with Backstreet Boys, they didn't evolve much past, we're gonna ape Boys to Men, and then we're gonna do this like kind of schmaltzy boy band stuff, and then they never kind of went past that.
But to me, this also just feels like another Max Martin retread, where it's production in search of an idea for a song. And like, it's all about respect. Like, nothing about this has anything to do with what's cool about pop music. There should be a concept here. And I felt this about most of Justin Timberlake's solo material. There should be a concept there. There's like the hint of a concept, but then there's no ideas there. There's like no, like, there. I don't know. Again, I'm very much biased against the originators of the source material, but I do genuinely want to be pleasantly surprised. And I want even people who are making very accessible, very quote unquote like mainstream pop, like, I can appreciate good pop music of any derivation or variety. I think this is kind of like in the music video world, or in like the film editing world, what's called like avid farts, when you just like do when you turn like one shot into like a million different shots that aren't really different shots, but just like the kind of like stuttering vocal effects of this epitomize to me all surface level flash with nothing to say underneath it.
Pop. That's all you're gonna say?
This is actually my favorite NSYNC song, I think. So
you disagree with Seth?
Yeah, I mean, I don't strongly disagree with him, but to me, like, this is one of the more interesting songs lyrically. Again, it's not like deep poetry, but it has a playfulness that a lot of boy band songs do not. The video, I think, I don't mind, like, you know, some flashy editing in a music video, because that's what music videos are for, I think. It's
that's
just
fair.
Like, experimenting with like bullshit, basically.
Yeah, that's fair.
So the video, it's the most 2000s fashion I've ever seen anywhere. It's really jarring. I was like, were there that many leather pants? And like, it's just like, I didn't see that, but I was in high school, so I probably wasn't with, like, I wasn't at clubs or anything like that, but I was like, wow, that's some real statements there. I like the song. Like, like I said, it's my favorite one of theirs. Like, it's the one I always enjoyed dancing to at a club or something. So yeah, this was my NSYNC jam.
Let's move on to A Ballad That I Can Stand, Gone, written by Justin Timberlake and Wade Robson. So Justin and Wade originally wrote this song for Michael Jackson. He passed on it, so Justin brought it to NSYNC to record. When it was released, Michael Jackson changed his mind and wanted to be on the song as a duet, but it had already been released, and they couldn't find a way to make it work.
Jesus.
Justin had told Oprah in an interview, Michael was very absolute about the fact that he wanted it to be a duet between himself and I. And yet, I find that very strange because I feel like they always have remixes. They could have just recorded a duet and had another version, but...
Or another song. Like, you have other songs. Like, it doesn't seem that hard, but...
But also, that very much fits in with every anecdote I've heard about Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird time for Michael Jackson, as I think most times for Michael Jackson
were.
Oh, really? Was that a weird time?
Yeah. I mean, he kind of was on the decline at this point, so I think he probably was
very
like
much so
thinking, I'm super relevant, and then other people mm-hmm. were doing things that were very Michael Jackson-ish and reaching success, and then he was like, oh, yes, I would like to do that, but
yeah,
too late.
Too late.
Maybe I was too blind to see that you needed a change. Was it something I said to make you turn away? To make you walk out and leave me cold? If I could just find a way to make it so that you were right here, right now. I've been sitting here, can't get you off my mind.
Get you off my mind.
Try my best to be a man and be strong. Drove myself insane, wishing I could touch your face.
Touch your
but
face.
The truth remains, you're gone.
You're
gone,
baby. You're
gone,
girl. You're gone, baby girl. You're
gone.
You're gone.
This is the one boy band ballad I like. I like it.
Really?
That's weird. It's terrible.
That is...
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. What do you mean it's terrible?
Becky,
it's
boring. Becky, I love you, but that's not good.
Untrue. I like it. I listened to this whole album today while I was working out at home. And even when this ballad came on, I was still working out.
You were pumping?
I was still pumping. I like it.
I want to know why there are four other people besides Justin Timberlake.
They
in this
shouldn't
video.
Be there. No. It's basically the Justin Timberlake show. I'll give you that.
They are ornamental at most by this
but
point.
But I don't care about that. I just care if the music's good.
They have less screen time than that little jar of nail polish.
I don't know why there's four other people. It's because he's like, well, I should have had a solo career like an album ago.
He's
so.
Like, they're gone, as well as the woman in question. He does a passable Charlie Chaplin. I'll give him that.
Yeah. All right. Is that all you want to say about the song?
Yeah, I think it's boring. I was so bored.
Oh, I like that it's just so different. The final single from Celebrity was Girlfriend.
I got an idea.
Don't you be my girlfriend.
Sure that it's real.
Are you sure?
Does he ease your mind?
No.
Or does he break your stride? Did you know that love could be a shield? Yeah.
I like this song like for a minute and then it gets very repetitive to me. So those are my thoughts, that I like it, but I just wish it went somewhere different.
Would you be my girlfriend? Would you be my girlfriend? Would you be my girlfriend?
No, but would you though? It doesn't really have anything to say other than, but would you be my girlfriend, though? But would you? But would you, though? But would you?
When you were talking about the Backstreet Boys adopting a very black sound in their speech, this video is the visual equivalent of that.
Because they're in like
car like culture. Cars. Like they're doing like, or they're supposedly doing drag racing, but again, like standing next to the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But just the way they're dressed, like this video feels very, this was a thing at this moment in time, like 2000, 2001, like Christina Aguilera did this in like her Dirty video. Like there was a very pronounced thing of white artists going very black in their videos, like trying to like basically just be black in their videos. But this is NSYNC's version of that. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a weird fit, honestly. Like, it's not such a weird fit for Justin, but it was a weird fit for the rest of them. I mean, you can complain about Justin doing it as well, but it just did not feel good.
I think really the only distinction there is that Justin Timberlake never stopped doing the black scent and never stopped directly ripping off every successful black pop artist of the latter 20th century.
And he can pull it off in a way, like you can say whether or not he should do it, but I feel like he pulls it off in a way that a lot of people can't.
It does feel natural to him. The problem is that you have five people and it doesn't all feel natural to all five of them. No. Like anytime I see Lance Bass, I'm like, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
Go to the moon.
Believe it or not, guys, there were other boy bands around the same time as Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
What a coincidence. It's almost like they anticipated the success and tried to capitalize on it.
Yeah. Maybe. Let's talk about a few of the other boy bands that time has forgotten pretty much.
Rightfully so.
There was 98 Degrees. I think that if you were going to take a poll about boy bands of this era, they would come in third.
Absolutely. I think it was like they were the third wheel on the bicycle, and then everyone else was like a streamer on the bicycle.
Yeah.
But sure. I also feel like even at the time, everyone I knew who loved either of those bands was like,
Somebody liked 98 Degrees. They played their videos. It was made up of brothers Nick and Drew Lachey, Jeff Timmons, and Justin Jeffrey. They had four singles to be in the top five on the Billboard charts. The Hardest Thing, I Do, parentheses Cherish You. I don't know if there's parentheses. Because of You and Thank God I Found You featuring Mariah Carey, which went to number one.
Thanks, Mariah.
Yeah. They were signed to Motown Records and they wrote a lot of their own material and it had more of an R&B vibe, which they thought would make them stand out. Not really.
The only note I wrote about 98 Degrees was like literally each of these men look like JCPenney catalog models and they sing like them too.
Yeah, I think there's one. I mean, Nick Lachey is kind of conventionally blandly cute. The rest like are like, what are you doing here?
Oh, but I even think Nick Lachey is fucking goofy looking. He's muscular, but he is goofy ass looking.
I think there are two that are good looking, but I don't know both of their names. Nick and another one.
And also just like vocally, they're so much worse than either of the ones we've discussed.
So this is not a boy band. This is a man band.
Yeah.
And they are clearly selling themselves as the marrying kind. In fact, the I Do video is them in tuxedos.
Oh, yes.
Your hand versus mine, and the thousand sensations seduce me because I do cherish you for the rest of my life. You don't have to think twice. I will love you still from the depths of my soul. It's beyond my control.
Maybe we were slightly under the age group that was going for this, but they were still played on like TRL and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But they are boring. They don't have any like dance upbeat songs. They don't dance.
Nothing.
Not even a sliver of a sense of humor or fun.
Oh yeah, no.
Super boring. I think I never took them seriously ever. And so the fact that they were even played and stuff, I was like, why?
Yeah. They also had the song called Una Noche, which I thought was an odd choice because I don't think any of them are Spanish speaking.
Maybe they might be, but I don't know.
I don't think so.
I bet half the takes they recorded, they sang Una Nacho and they had to delete them.
I mean, that was also a thing at this time, like a lot of white artists doing Spanish titled songs. And even before this, like Madonna did it, you know, like other people did it. But it stood out as just like, what are you doing? Like, I mean, if you think the Backstreet Boys are bland, I get it. But like, they look like David Bowie next to 98 Days.
Other boy bands that I can think of off the top of my head, Five Ive. O-Town, which I think stood for Orlando, but I always call them Oat Town. And it was like, that's a cereal.
No, but let's, like, that Five Ive song, When the Lights Go Out, for whatever reason, I remember that. I don't know why I remember that. Another fact I learned when I was preparing for this episode was that at this particular point in the mid-90s, it was just before all of terrestrial radio completely consolidated into, like, two companies. So it was still possible to be a huge regional hit because there were such a thing as local radio stations that would play things that they decided on their own, independent of any national company. And like, so I remember When the Lights Go Out.
Yeah, I do too.
Second verse, girl. I know you think you're never just in line. You ain't no good in putting up a fight. Cause my heart's set on you. I see the truth in your eyes. Ain't fooled by your thin disguise. I can see I'm getting through, babe. Girl, don't deny the way you feel. You know you gotta trust me. Give me a chance to prove I'm real. Oh yeah, yeah. Baby, when the lights go out, every single word could not express.
I think of all of the boy bands that we'll mention, they were the only ones who seemed like they might have like the stuff to compete with NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. Granted, it's only off this one single. It's not like a huge body of work. They were more popular in the UK, but I feel like this single was as good as a lot of
absolutely. The other singles. But also it was very funny because watching the music video, like half of them dressed like 10-year-olds. They were dressed in like jean overalls. And then the other half of them looked like 35-year-old Swedish pop music producers.
Yeah, they were definitely singing about sex in a bowling alley, which is maybe not the best location.
There is also Westlife, LFO, Take That, Boyzone, and Hanson. Does that count as a boy band?
No. That does not count.
Okay, I think this is interesting. Maybe we should have started with this. What makes a boy band?
They don't play instruments.
I completely agree. I think one necessary prerequisite of a quote-unquote boy band is that they don't play instruments.
Like, maybe they do, but they're not depicted as such.
No, I think they don't play musical instruments at all. Like, the songs that they perform are songs that, for the most part, are presented to them. Like, I think in some ways, you know, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC were a bit different in the fact that they did eventually compose some of their own songs. And this could be a generational distinction because, like, the Monkees were a, like, prefab boy band. They were assembled by, like, I think their original producer was the person who, like, got them together. But they all performed their own instruments. And I do think that's something that at least delineates the 90s boy bands is that none of them played instruments.
Okay, how about this? Okay, Hanson, not a boy band, according to you. Jonas Brothers, boy band, not a boy band.
I don't know.
I would argue boy band.
But they play their own instruments and write their own songs.
I don't think they initially did. I think they eventually did.
What is it? Does that matter?
I think it does.
I think it matters that they are not known for dancing. They play their instruments while they're performing. They're not dancers. I think that's the difference. What about Boyz II Men?
Okay, so I think in particular, Boyz II Men are an extension of the New Jack Swing era, which is a particular outgrowth of R&B and somewhat hip-hop culture, but especially R&B, that had roots in Motown. And a lot of the Motown groups were like, could conceivably be called boy bands or like girl groups as such. But there was a musicianship that is distinct from especially the other 90s groups that we're talking about. No one can really dispute, I don't think can seriously dispute, that like Boyz II Men weren't individually really excellent singers. And there were a lot of other groups kind of in that kind of genre, you know, and all of them had extremely high levels of musicianship. Even if they didn't play instruments, they were extremely technically talented singers. They did have their dance moves and all, but like they were mostly known for their vocal quality.
I'm gonna cut it a different way. I think it's about who they're marketed to. And I think boy bands are marketed to mostly like white, like suburban teenage girls, and not marketed as like an R&B group or something like that. Like, I think superficially you could say there's a lot of similarities between Boyz II Men and Backstreet Boys. And you can definitely say one is more talented than the other, et cetera. But I think it's really about like where they're being marketed to and who their audience is. And I think boy bands are always to young teen girls and kind of a largely like white base.
I think in this case, particularly specifically white.
But it is interesting that we saw both NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, as much as they were marketed to young girls mostly, kind of try and take on these sort of more hip hop-ish personas to kind of legitimize themselves, I think. And like NSYNC did it more, you know, toward the end of their career. But I think it took on a bigger role in culture in general. And that's what a lot of the mainstream was listening to by 2000. I mean, hip hop became kind of like a dominant genre.
Yes. And it became something you could capitalize on, just the image of, even on the most superficial level possible.
And the idea, like almost every single would eventually have like a hip hop hook in there, like a bridge with a hip hop artist or something. Like we saw Nelly in the NSYNC song. So like it became part of that package. And so it is interesting how those things kind of ended up coming back together.
So as far as where NSYNC is now, they went on hiatus in 2004, and the hiatus became pretty much a disbandment because Justin Timberlake went off and did his own thing. And I remember reading something about Lance Bass saying that he had faith that the band was going to get back together, and then it never did, and he felt very betrayed. And that was then, like, he says that he's very good friends of Justin now, but like there was a little bit where he felt betrayed by him because he thought the band was going to keep going. But they had a new single on the new Trolls soundtrack for the new Trolls movie in 2023. There were some rumblings that maybe they would do the Super Bowl. They didn't get picked for the Super Bowl, so who knows how legitimate those rumors were. But Justin Timberlake has new music this year. He has a new album out. And so I don't know if there's any status regarding like NSYNC reteaming up, but I think that was probably it, honestly. I watched them on Hot Ones because I was very intrigued, and Justin Timberlake kind of looked miserable. I mean, this is completely my own point of view, but I was just like, man, he probably hates that he's has to like be back in NSYNC after the career he's had, which is a very successful career. He kind of was dragged a little bit for being mentioned in Britney's memoir in not a very shining light. All the other ones are just, you know, they're working on music, being producers or songwriters, or being like on TV and like Dancing with the Stars and stuff. So they're all kind of like still out there doing stuff. But Justin's clearly the one that's still like more in the limelight.
Yeah. How's that Trolls song?
I never listened to it.
Neither did I.
I never listened to it.
Should we?
What's the, yeah, let's listen to it. All right. NSYNC Trolls.
Do they name drop Trolls in the song?
It's called Better Place.
It's some kind of love, it's some kind of fire. I'm already up, but you lift me higher. You know I'm not wrong, you know I'm not lying. We do it better, yeah, we do it better, yeah.
I don't mind if the world spins faster, the music's louder.
I hear maybe JC, but like that's how it always was. I only heard JC or Justin.
Boo. Boo Trolls and boo Justin.
Boo Trolls. Movie I'm probably going to have to watch one day.
Yeah.
One day or every day?
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll be lucky if you only see it once.
So who do we prefer? Do I
fuck, marry, kill, NSYNC?
Wait, oh, in that?
Yeah. Fuck, marry, kill, Mary.
Fuck Justin. Mary Lance. Kill Chris Kirkpatrick's hair and his name, that's hard to say. And the other two are fine.
Well, you have to fuck and kill one more.
Oh, GC's always been kind of boring, so kill him, fuck Joey DePatone. He's kind of cute.
You're the first person to ever fuck Joey DePatone.
He's married with kids, I'm sure.
I need to see papers.
For me, I'm going to marry Joey Fatone because he just seems like a reliable dad who will make me good sandwiches.
You just want a sandwich. Everyone just wants a sandwich.
And then everyone else, I'm going to fucking then kill in that order.
Yeah, I hope. I hope, Seth.
Yeah. No, I'm not a psychopath, Becky.
Jeez. Mary Lance. Fuck Justin and JC. Kill Chris and Joey. I feel like this is obvious.
Okay, no, you know what? I'll retract mine. I'm not going to kill Lance. He's done genuinely funny cameos and things. Like, he was in the show Review.
Yeah, don't kill him. Which, he's nice.
Yeah. No, he's
my husband now.
Yeah, no,
he's husband.
No, he seems genuinely nice, too. I'll keep him around.
He's always seemed like a very nice boy.
Yeah, I'll keep him around.
I just like to point out that... I think Britney's collection of music and music videos far outshines any of these for both bands.
I agree.
For all boy bands. I think her music and music videos.
Riddle me this. I think she worked with a lot of different producers, right?
She did, but she also worked with Max Martin.
No, but I think later on, especially like with Toxic and those other ones, I think she switched it up I'm saying.
She did.
She did.
That I think goes a long way to explaining why, is I think that she did seek out other voices, different producers who would have a really different approach to making that music. And I do think that both of these groups kind of stuck with the same people for too long. And specifically in this genre, that is death. That is like a recipe for stasis and for not really being able to adapt to changing times. And I don't think they did. And I think that itself goes a long way to explaining why, like, NSYNC became the Justin Timberlake show. Because at a certain point, like, he was the one who had, like, the new ideas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC?
I mean, it's obvious. I want to hear Seth's take. We know who we're picking.
I think we do.
My choice is neither. It was such a cliche, even at the time, to hate on all these groups. And it had been a long time since I'd listened to any of this type of music. Again, I did want to have, like, some pleasant surprises, but with maybe one and a half exceptions here. These songs were grating on my soul, and I quite truly, like, had to put on real music after I listened to this for any amount of time. Because, like, my brain hurt and my soul ached for real music with anything to say, any kind of real expression to it. My choice is neither of these.
You have to choose. You have to.
Which one did you hate listening to less? He's gonna gag.
Which one did God spend a little more time on?
We can't get an answer out of him. He won't answer.
No, I'm truly hard-pressed. Even though I don't like his music and I don't like his approach to songwriting, at least NSYNC had a little bit of a detour once it became the Justin Timberlake show. At least there was some deviation from the cookie cutter. And with Backstreet Boys, they genuinely could not escape their, like, little tiny itty-bitty range of what they did.
Sorry, Janae. NSYNC wins.
But what do they win? But what do they win? And at what cost to the rest of us?
Okay, pick a song from this whole thing. Pick a song.
Like a favorite?
Like, all the other songs go away. Pick one song.
It's gonna be me.
Really?
Yeah. What'd you think I was gonna pick?
I don't know. You.
I mean, if the rest of them go away, then, like, I have to pick one that, like, really just epitomizes all of them. I don't know. Maybe, like, I Want It That Way, or, like, It's Tearing Up My Heart. Like, either of those two, I feel like.
you gotta pick one.
So, what would you pick? You were just trying to get Backstreet Boys to win.
No.
NSYNC has already been crowned the champion, so.
We can't take back the crown.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you mean everybody? open parentheses, Backstreet's back, close parentheses?
I do.
All right.
Okay. It's tearing up my heart, but that's all the time we have on this episode of When We Were Young. On our next episode, who the hell knows? The When We Were Young podcast is a production of the MFP Studio in Los Angeles, California. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast. Rate and review us 5 stars or more so that more people will hear this show. You can contribute to us on our Patreon at patreon.com/whenwewereyoung so we can continue bringing you episodes of this show for free. I've been Seth.
Man, I'm tired of singing.
Bye, bye, bye.
We do it better. Yeah, we do it better. Yeah.
I don't mind if the world spins faster, the music's louder, the waves get stronger. I don't mind if the world spins faster, faster, faster.
Just let me take you to